Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of where you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S. W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. Amen. So we are grateful for another blessed day. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we're grateful for this day that you have blessed us to see. We're grateful, Lord God, to have this opportunity to go into the Word of God today and to have this opportunity for you to teach us and to show us the way of the Lord. So, Father, I thank you for everyone that is listening and tuning in to this broadcast. And I pray, Lord God, that you will watch over and keep them. And as they seek your truth, let them so shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part two of The Gospel Must Be Preached. Amen. We are dealing with part two today. I want to say before I go any further, for those of you the first-time listeners, let me point you back to go back and listen to part one. And in part one, I tell you about, you know, you may hear in this series me mentioning two more books besides the Bible that are also the Word of God, called The Record of Nephi and the Word of the Lord. And in part one, I point you to past broadcasts that you can listen to it more on these two books and how you can order or get them that you may see for yourself and ask the Lord about them. So after you listen to part two today, won't you go back and listen to part one? Amen. I know it's not titled part one, and this is not titled part two, but this is actually part two of The Gospel Must Be Preached. Amen. Now, having said that, I want to once again open up reading a verse from one of the books I would tell you about, one called The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had been sending by his angel messenger, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah that is for to come, what is called message three, or the third message that Jesus sent out June the 12th, 1927. And I want to read the scripture to you from what he said in through the sending of his angelic being. And the word says, the gospel must be preached. The cry must go out. The Lord's coming is near. Behold, this is a day when the world with its greed for wealth and pleasure must be warned as in the days of Noah. Pride and vanity have filled the hearts of men, and the law of the Lord is forgotten. Now, yesterday in part one, we was looking at the scriptures and looking at how that, and to sum it up, how Jesus, when he talks about his gospel, or the most important or the most one, the greatest one, most worth singling out, which is the gospel of Christ in his pureness, we saw from a couple places that when Jesus talks about it, he was specific, while at the same time, he was letting us know that there would be other gospels presented. Amen. But he said, and this gospel of the kingdom, that word this is a word that that points to something specific, okay? Letting you know also that there will be other gospels, but this gospel of the king shall be preached into all the world, okay? It is the gospel that Christ accepts. And as I share with you, you got so many people among the believers who are, quote, claiming so many gospels, that it has got to the point, for example, one extremely dangerous gospel out there is called the gospel of inclusion, preached by Carlton Pearson, okay? And if you were to hear all the things that is in that, what he says, I mean, any Christian that is doing some type of even little study of the word, were to hear some of the stuff he's saying, will have to say to themselves, buddy, you way off the mark, okay? But we was looking at, and we come to understand that Paul, in addressing the Corinthian church and the church of Galatia, let us know and see that there is the possibility of other gospels being preached, okay? Amen. And you definitely will find that today. You have people who claiming to preach the gospel, but they're preaching things that contradict what's already written. And they're getting over on people who has not have a mind to seek the word of God, to study, okay, or who don't have the desire to really search out the word. And therefore, they're able to get over on many people. Now, because of this. And so the Lord said the gospel must be preached. The word must signifies a necessity. Because the gospel Jesus is talking about, the gospel that will bring Christianity into one fold. Now, I know that some believers who heard me just made that statement, more or less probably wouldn't accept it because they're saying, you trying to get us to join your church. Well, first of all, I don't have a church. I belong to one. Okay. Second of all, it is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you even look in the Bible alone, you saw that when Jesus set up his church, he did not set up a broken up fragment, pieces all over here and there kind of church. Okay. He set up a fold that was to be one. You understand what I'm saying? So let's go back into the Bible here, and I want to go to a couple of places right quick. First off, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. If you have your Bibles, I'm asking that you would turn with me and look with me as we go into the word. And then for those of you that say, I don't have a Bible with me, I just ask that you give your undivided attention and that whatever you hear, take it back to the Lord. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now we see here that Jesus said this gospel, once again being specific. And just like if you had a few cars on the lot, you said this car. Okay. You know, there's other cars on the lot, but you pointed out to one specifically that you want. I want this car, okay? Well, he said this gospel. And that signifies to us that there will be other gospels presented or even preached. But the one that Jesus supports is the one that is to be preached, as he said, in all the world. Not in some of the world, okay? All the world. For a witness, not unto some nations, but to all nations. So the gospel or this gospel of the kingdom has to go into all the world. Okay. Now, apparently, it hasn't done that yet, because if it would have, we would be at the end now, wouldn't? Hallelujah. So it hasn't been to all the world, okay? Hasn't been preaching to all the world, and it hasn't been a witness unto all nations, okay? But Jesus said when that happens, he said, then the end shall come. Amen. That's why I said that as we, and some of us who are preaching, any day we can be gone, Jesus come to get us any day, the word of God here proves that that's not true. Because he said the gospel has to be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, who is he expecting to preach the gospel? His people. So if his people are being snatched up any day now, then who's going to preach the gospel? Who's going to carry out the mandate and make sure that this verse here is fulfilled? Because remember, I told you, the Lord is about, he's the true and living God, and he's a being that is about completing things, okay? He ain't about half doing or incomplete. He's about completing things. So if the believers are to be gone any day now, okay, then who will be left to preach the gospel in all the world? Amen. Now, some Christians will say, well, you know, the weak Christians. No, I can't agree with that. Okay? Because first of all, you're saying weak Christian. They're a Christian. Okay? And in the body of Christ, some must represent the hand, some must represent the foot. So why would God take up a hand and a nose and leave a foot? Because he said weak. No, if he's going to take somebody, he's going to take the whole body. Okay? Not pieces and fragments of the body, but the whole body. Amen. So this gospel has to be preached, and it's this gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, when you read this chapter 24 alone, it's involved in this gospel. And in this gospel, what's being preached about Christ's return is that he's to come the tribulation of those days. You understand what I'm saying? Not before. Not any day now, but after. Amen. Now, we see in verse 14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, having seen that, let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to go into verse 6. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And the word of God says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. Now, let's stop there for a minute, because we just saw in Matthew 24 that Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom is to be preached to all the world, to witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay? That's what he says. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, the question is, well, was Jesus talking about in Matthew 24 and 14 an angel to do this? Well, no, he wasn't talking about just an angel. His people must do it, but this angel is also involved in the work of the Lord in spreading the gospel. And he says here that he had the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. Okay? So Jesus said in Matthew 24:14 involves this here. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, glory to God. Now, I want to turn your attention to this angel, because the Lord Jesus wants me to talk to you about this angel who has this assignment. And he wants me to tell you who it is. Now, I pray that you will listen closely to what you hear to Jesus. Now, what I'm about to say, I know some of you is going to straight up dismiss this. You're going to say, oh, he's promoting his church with their strange doctors and teaching. You know, I'm not going to hear that. This is a bunch of baloney. And then, you know, you're going to click it off. And, well, if you do that, which is your choice, I still thank you, Jesus. While there would be some other of you who may hear it and say, well, I've never heard of that before, and I don't want to get caught up in any hoopla, but at the same time, I don't want to dismiss something because it is something I never heard before. Some people do that. You know, just because they've never heard before, they think that everything's not true. Now, I'm not saying you run with everything you hear, but you do have to learn how to search and investigate things. Okay? Amen. And so you have some people and some, quote, what you call church folks, when you're giving them something of the gospel that they've never heard before, they automatically rejects it, especially if their own denomination has not preached on it nor expressed that they accept it. Amen. And so when you tell them something of the gospel that they never heard, and they are that type of person, that condition, they instantly rejects it. See, the people in these last days that's going to really hear the word of the Lord and come together is the people whose hearts are open to the word of God. They're not going to be people that's wrapped down and trapped in their traditions or their denominations. It is not going to be about that. It's going to be about learning the word of the Lord and understanding the will of God. And like I said, you got some people that haven't even got past that part of breaking their total mind connection to their denomination and having said to themselves, well, if it ain't something my denomination believes, I don't accept, because you have people with that kind of heart. Now, going on here, this angel, the Lord wants me to tell you who this angel is. Now, you know, the Bible mentions many angels, and there's been a couple occasions or so, maybe more, but not many, where that we were given the name of an angel. But for the most part, when it talks about the angels of the Lord, it may say an angel of the Lord and not give us his name. So right there, seeing that when it's put like that in the Bible, you know, sometimes it's not the greater important thing of knowing this angel's name. But here in Revelation 14:6, the Lord has revealed who this angel is because of the particular purpose or work that he has to do. And so on this part of the gospel must be preached, we will be looking at who is this angel, okay? Who is this angel that Jesus wants us to know about? Well, amen. I want to read a verse from you out of the word of the Lord once again. It is called the 90th message. And Jesus sent this message out July 10th, 1970. July 10th, 1970. And I want to read one of these verses in here to where that through his angelic being, he tells you who this angel is. And the reason why the Lord lets you know who this angel is because of the great importance of the work that the Lord has laid upon him, okay? He's not wanting you to know who this angel is so you can worship, okay? He wants you to know who he is that you may know the greatest of great importance of the work that's on him, and plus that it may witness to something that he has said about him before, okay? Because remember, whenever the Lord do something in the earth, he doesn't leave himself without witness or witnesses, okay? Now, let me read the scripture here. It says, does not the revelation say that I come with the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell upon the earth? Who is man that claimeth to have more than this? Hallelujah. Who is man to claim to have more than this? The word of God that the Lord is sending through his angelic being, which comes with the authority of the gospel. Amen. But here, as this message I read to you, it is revealed who this angel of Revelation 14 and 6 is. It's the same one that just spoke that which I read to you, this scripture out of the word of the Lord. It is the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah. Amen. Now, as I said before I told you this, once again, some of you, if you haven't already, when I first mentioned it, probably click me off. And you said, well, and others, you said, well, I've never heard of such a thing. And I agree. I understand that. I agree with you. You never heard it. But understand this. Now, unless it's something far-fetched, learn to search things out and take it to the Lord. Always leave yourself open to say, I don't know everything, and I have not heard everything. And things that I have not heard, unless it's far-fetched, I will seek the Lord about it. Amen? See, because see, you got some people that won't do it. As I said before, if they never heard of it before, they instantly reject it. And see, people, you got to be careful, okay? You always got to be open to the Lord revealing things that you never heard before. And through whomsoever he will. You got to be open to it, because if you don't, you can cheat yourself out of your blessing. You can cheat yourself out of your blessing. So this angel is none other than the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah that is for to come. Okay? Now, we're going to go to the Bible to prove this. Okay? Amen. We're going to go to the Bible to prove this. One witness was Jesus sending the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist himself, to tell us that he is the one who been bringing, or who Revelation mentions about bringing or coming with the everlasting gospel. Amen. And we got to remember that the word of God is like one giant puzzle, and the Holy Ghost has to connect the pieces, has to help you connect the pieces for you to understand. See, some people are trying to study the word of God without the Holy Ghost. And this is why you keep running to the walls every time. You know, this is why you keep falling over the cliff every time. And this is why sometimes it seems like you just ain't getting nowhere, because you're trying to do it without the Holy Ghost. But see, the Holy Ghost has to help you connect this puzzle. Amen. You got to, glory, you got to remember the word of the Lord, like I said, hallelujah, as a whole, it's like one giant puzzle. And I have seen in my life personally when God has given me revelation of things from the scriptures, I noticed that with me, he started connecting scripture with scripture. It's like a puzzle, just connecting it. And it all started joining and falling together. And, man, it just started presenting a clear picture to me. So you have to leave yourself open to that. Now, once again, this angel of Revelation 14:6 is none other than the resurrected John the Baptist. We're going to go to the Bible here to look at this to prove this. Amen. Now, one of the things we're going to look at in verse 6 here in Revelation 14 is the word angel. He said, I saw another angel, okay, fly in the midst of heaven. Now, the word angel, the Greek word for the word angel, when you look it up in, let's say, a concordance, if you're looking up for the original Greek word, what it means, you'll find out that the same Greek word for the word angel is also for the word messenger in the New Testament. Okay? Glory to God. Because the word angel, according to the concordance, means a messenger, especially an angel. Okay? Amen. Now, keeping that in mind, let's look at Matthew 11 and 10. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. And once again, I ask that you will bear with me. Amen. And take what you hear back to the Lord, because he wants this to be told. Now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. The word of God says, and notice that here, in fact, let's look at verse 7 first. It said, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning who? John. And in verse 10, he said, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So John is referred to as a messenger. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, once again, I ask you to bear with me, because some of you may say, oh, well, that don't mean nothing. But actually, once again, when you let the Holy Ghost put it together, you will see the bigger picture. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 1, 1 through 2, that John is called the messenger, okay? And Mark said, as has been witnessed by the prophets. And we know one of the prophets is Malachi, okay? So when it comes to, hallelujah, a messenger, John is referred to as a messenger, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. John is also known as the Elijah, okay? He's also known as the Elijah. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 10 to verse 13, Matthew chapter 17. Verse 10 to verse 13. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of God says, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Okay? We also come to understand that I think that also in the book of Mark, also that John is the Elijah, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And here's the interesting thing about this. The angel in Revelation 14 and 6, if you notice that this angel appeared before Christ's return, right? In fact, I think it's Revelation 19, it shows where Christ had was coming back with his army, okay? Well, see, in Revelation 14 is when this angel came having the everlasting gospel. Now, I've heard some say they believe that this is to happen. I think I heard them say after the millennium. But no, that couldn't be. Okay? This, when you follow the scriptures and the way the order is set, this angel came before Christ's return. Okay? Because he was bringing the gospel that was to be preached unto all nations, kindred, tongue, and people, which is the same gospel that Jesus said in Matthew 24, not only must be preached to all nations, he said, but when that happened, then the end shall come. So he was bringing the everlasting gospel, this angel, before the end had come. So therefore, it couldn't be after the millennium or during the millennium. This had to be before and before Christ had returned. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, in looking at Matthew chapter 17, verse 10 to 13, where in fact, let's come back to that. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Now, and this is why I show you that John is the Elijah. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. And like I said, this angel from Revelation 14, who's called the messenger, we looked at where John the Baptist also called the messenger, and this angel was to come before Christ's return. Well, you look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, he said, behold, I will send you who? Elijah the prophet. He's not talking about the Elijah the Tishbite. Okay, he's not talking about Elijah the Tishbite. He's talking about the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist. He said, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before when? The coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, that's the second coming of Christ. Amen. The second coming of Christ. John fits the bill, the Elijah, to be that angel in that part two, is that he was to come. He is to come before the second coming of Christ. Now, the thing is this. You look at it and say, well, how is he to come? Now, before we do that, let's look at Malachi 3. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. So here, we remember, this messenger is who? The resurrected is John the Baptist. Because remember, we looked at Matthew 11 and 10. He said, this is he of whom is written. Written where? Written in Malachi. This is he of whom it is written. Behold. So this messenger here is John, who that the Lord said he would send him to prepare the way before him. So in order for him to prepare the way before him, he has to come when? Before him. Now, to show you that this chapter 3 is dealing with him coming before the second coming of Christ, you look at verse 6 where the Lord said, and I will come near to you to judgment. You see that? And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerer, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless. Turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, say the Lord. Now remember, in verse 1, he said, I'm going to send my messenger to prepare the way before me. So in other words, he said, I'm going to send this messenger who who is none other than John the Baptist, to come before me to prepare the way. So Jesus said in verse 5, how you will come. I will come near to you to judgment. Well, remember, and I will be a swift witness against the adulterers, against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, false swearers, those that oppress the hireling, his wages, the widow and the fatherless. Now, remember when he said, I will come near to you in judgment, when Jesus first came, he did not come in judgment. He came to be the Lamb. Amen? So this has to be referring to the second coming of Christ, where he will come back in judgment, okay? Where we are told in Thessalonians, he will come in flaming fire with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel, okay? Amen. So here we see that, and you look at the word messenger here, I think in original Hebrew, is meaning a prophet and an angel, which that describes John, okay? Behold, I will send my message, I will send my angel. Okay. Amen. So this also explains how John will come back as an angel to do the work he had to do. Because that's the only way he can come, glory be to God, before Christ's second coming. He would have to come back as an angel. Okay. You said, well, why you said it? Because remember, let's go back to Matthew 17. Let's go back to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. Now, and let's look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 11. Amen. And the word of God says, and Jesus answered, said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, you say, well, why are we going back to that verse? Because we see in verse 13 that Jesus revealed to them who this Elijah was. And it wasn't the Elijah they saw with Moses on the Mount Transfiguration here that was talking with Christ. Because remember, that prompted them to ask the question, why do the scribes said Elijah must first come? Because when they saw Elijah, he didn't really do anything spectacular, okay? But see, Jesus would let them know, said, that's not the Elijah that is to come and restore all things. And they understood it with John the Baptist. Now, what is remarkable about that statement that Jesus said in verse 11 was John was already beheaded. He was already dead. Amen? He was already, you go back to chapter 14. That's when he was beheaded, okay? So here's Jesus talking about somebody dead coming back doing something, okay? Amen. So how can he do that? The only way he can do that is as a resurrected being and being resurrected to an angel. You get what I'm saying? Just like we read in Malachi 3 and 1, we see that third chapter of Malachi, when Jesus is talking about, I will send my angel to prepare my way before me, and he's saying before him what? Before him coming as a in judgment, okay? Which is pointing to what? His second coming. Because he did not come in judgment when he first came. He came to be the Lamb to be sacrificed. But when he returned, not only is he coming to get his people, but he's coming in judgment. Okay? Amen. And so here, Matthew 17, what Jesus is saying here, the only way that the Elijah, which we understand here, is none other than John the Baptist, could come back and restore all things, he would have to do it as a resurrected being. Okay? Because his head got cut off. He was dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like we saw in Malachi 4, behold, I was sending you Elijah. We understand Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist. How is he able to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord? He has to come back as a resurrected being, okay? Because you're not finding flesh these days living almost 2,000 years old, okay? I mean, it's a blessing when you see them 100 years old. But 2,000 years old, ain't no flesh living no 2,000 years old. So the only way he could do that is he has to come back as a resurrected being an angel. Well, let's look at that. To take a look at that right quick. Amen. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to 52. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 52. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 52. And the word of God says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints, okay, which slept arose. Now notice in that 52nd verse, it says many bodies of the saints. It didn't just say many bodies of people, or it didn't say the people in the graves, okay? You know, that would be everyone, you know, a whole lot of folk that slept, but it was specific. It said many of the saints, okay? Now, you know, when you look up saints in the original Greek, it lets you know that the original Greek word means those that are consecrated, set apart, sacred. And so when you look at John the Baptist, and we was told in Luke chapter 1 that when the angel told his earthly father Zacharias about him, he said that, you know, he would not drink strong drink, okay? He is to do a work for the Lord. So John the Baptist was consecrated unto the Lord. So many bodies of the saints which slept arose, he was one of the saints. Amen. He was one of the saints. Hallelujah. That arose. Because see here, Jesus paved the way for the resurrection. No one could truly be raised to immortality without Jesus having to open the door. Okay? You understand it? So Jesus was the first to be resurrected, and he opened up the door for the resurrection of man. But here, the Bible is specific when it says bodies of the saints, not just bodies of the people of the saints, specifically. And John the Baptist was one of those saints. Amen. Now let's go to Luke chapter 20. We're going to look at one more verse here, and then we're going to stop it here for the night. Luke chapter 20, and as we see, John the Baptist was one of the saints that rose. We're going to see that what happened to him. Luke chapter 20, and I'm going to read verses 34 to verse 36. Chapter 20, verse 34 to verse 36. Now, remember it, and you can find this count too in Matthew 22nd chapter. There was a group of people who also considered themselves a very religious people in that time. They was called Sadducees. And the Bible tells us that one of the things about the Sadducees, they did not believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in any resurrection. And so they call themselves approaching Christ and think they're going to cross him up by giving him this story about this woman who had a husband. He died, but she, you know, they didn't have no children together. So the brother came in and raised up seed to it, and that didn't happen. And then, you know, all of a sudden, they said seven brethren had her. And they asked the question, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Now, these are the same people that don't believe in a resurrection. No, that's kind of a lesson that you got to be watchful of people that, and sometimes, you know, God can use you to unveil something to people. But sometimes when people don't believe in something, especially the things of the Lord, and they ask you a question. Sometimes it's a sarcastic kind of question, or sometimes it's a question to try to trap you. So ask the Lord for wisdom. Now, when they ask him the question, whose wife is she going to be? Because seven had her. Jesus said in verse 24, the children of the world marry and are given in marriage. Okay? But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. See, that's where John and the father in that category. He was among those that was accounted worthy to obtain that world and a resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. You see that? For they are what? Equal unto the angels and are children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So when you put the two together, you see that from Matthew 27, John was one of those that rose in the resurrection and became what? What Luke 21 says, as the angels. So that's another thing to support also being the angel of Revelation 14:6, because remember, Jesus said in Matthew 17 that he was to come back and restore all things. And the only way he can do that is to come back as an angelic being. Okay? That's the only way he can do that, people. Okay? He can't live up to be, and besides, he couldn't live up to be, what, almost 2,000 years old. And on top of that, he got his head got cut off. Okay? So that's the only way he could come back is as a resurrected being. Okay? To come back in the last day. Because Jesus let us know that he was going to come in the last day. Okay? Amen. So behold, I see you, Elijah the prophet, for the great and dreadful day of the Lord, for the second coming of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to stop it there tonight, and I'm going to come with a part three tomorrow. It may be kind of short, and then from there we go into prayer, talk a little bit more on that. But the Lord wants you to know that that angel that had the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth was none other than the resurrected John the Baptist. Amen? The resurrected John the Baptist. So, glory be to God. And like I said, for those of you listening, hey, you know, you have this opportunity to ask the Lord about it. Okay? You know, we on Blog Talk Radio, Lord say the same, this December will make 5 years. Not one time have we ever told you guys that are listening. We have never told you don't ask the Lord nothing about what we tell you. You just better accept it. We've never done that, okay? And we really plan on not to do it no time soon or any time. But we've always told you to ask the Lord about what we're sharing with you, okay? In the message, he said the gospel must be preached. It got to be preached, okay? The gospel, this gospel that he says that is of the kingdom, the gospel that he said must first be published among all nations, okay? It's the gospel that causes Christianity to flow together. Because remember this, the word of God is not separating Christianity. I mean, Christianity is doing it themselves along with the work of the devil. So when we start using the gospel to separate ourselves as the people of God, then we have a problem. And see, this is what you have some people among the believers that are doing. Okay? They're preaching a gospel where they're separating believers. Okay? They're making so many clicks and folds and stuff like that instead of being one people in unity. Okay? This is something here that really terrifies the devil. Okay? Because when you're preaching the gospel of Christ, which brings unity among Christianity, you're going to cause unity where the devil knows that a unified group of believers, you know, it's just he can't overcome, okay? And this is why he have us at war, at, you know, one another, all separate. Amen? Glory be to God. So we thank God for that. So let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we thank you for another blessed day in Christ Jesus, another opportunity you've given us. Thank you for keeping us, watching over us as you've done. And we say glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, you have blessed us this day. I pray you bless those who are listening to the broadcast in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, we thank God for all you that's listening. The Lord say the same. I should be back with part three. The gospel must be preached. Look for the advertisement for tomorrow. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.